Hey everyone, it's Rich Bennett, host of Conversations with Rich Bennett, bringing you an exciting chance to win with our latest giveaway sponsored by Tar Heel Construction Group. Get ready to make a splash just by tuning in to the podcast. Yes, you heard that right. While you're soaking up our latest episodes, listen closely for a special splash sound. When you hear it, remember the episode name. Here's what you do next. Shoot us an email at podcast@harfordcountyliving.com with the episode title. Each splash sound means a new chance to win. So the more you listen, the better your chances. If you don't have email, then just leave a voicemail from our website at conversationswithrichbennett.com. What's the prize? How about a brand new waterproof Bluetooth speaker? Perfect for listening to our episodes, whether you're in the bath, on the beach, in the pool, or on the go. You have until the end of May to send in your entries, and we'll announce the lucky winner on June 3rd. Don't miss out on this splashy opportunity brought to you by Tar Heel Construction Group. Dive into our episodes and win big. There are a lot of great podcasts out there, and one of the things that I've been doing is recommending a podcast at the end of each episode. So make sure you stay tuned to the very end, because I guarantee you the podcast I recommend, you're going to love. On this episode of Conversations with Rich Bennett.
So if you're raised in a home that you don't hear the word, you know, if you have lived your life where it hasn't been part of your life, it can be a difficult thing to say, especially when you don't know what it really means. Then yeah. How do you know if you're really loving if you don't really know what it means? And so often, you know, if you've been abused or there's been trauma in your life, whatever, you're like, where's the love? You know, where's the love in that? Well, the love isn't in that. That's not love. And So understanding that we've been taught wrong, that there is this new interpretation of love that's always been there. We just haven't known it.
Coming to you from the Freedom Federal Credit Union Studios, Harford County Living presents Conversations with Rich Bennett.
Come on.
You're faster than me.
Guys.
Hey,
yeah. That was quick.
I got a
take
on mine.
Jack, 24th, 13th. Oh, man, you already said it. I was going to ask her if she remembered the date.
All right, people. Be prepared. I already got my box of Kleenex here because I have Kim Sorrell on, and when you hear her story, I guarantee you, you're going to need them tissues. But I also guarantee you, you're going to be happy, and you're probably going to laugh, because we're going to talk about her story, but we're also going to talk about that four-letter word that everybody needs. And then she's going to tell us about this challenge, which I cannot wait to take part in. I love it. So, Kim, first of all, welcome to the conversation. I'm excited to hear your story and to hear I'm going to say this right off the bat. You're an amazing woman. Aww. Just even though you haven't told your story yet, just from the little bit I've seen, everything you've been through, you are one strong, amazing woman.
Well, Rich, right back at you. I mean, Marines.
I mean, I'm not a woman.
Yeah, but Marines. Holy cow. Thank you so much for your service, by the way.
Oh, it was my honor.
Yeah.
It was an honor. So, all right. You've written two books. Oh my God. You're looking to change the world, doing stuff in Haiti and everything else. Are you a speaker as well?
Yeah.
I guess you could say you are, cause you're going on all these different podcasts and you're also a survivor. So if you can, let's start there because correct me if I'm wrong, but you were diagnosed with breast cancer, right?
Right.
So let's start there because you were first, correct?
Right.
Walk us through that because I've that's how I started this podcast. My first episode was with breast cancer survivors. And every year I like to get them on and talk to them because it's just I wish in all honesty that everybody would get checked all the time and don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to give the floor to you, Kim.
Yeah. Well, I happen to agree with you because I went kicking and screaming to a mammogram when I was 47 years old. I did not want to go. There was no breast cancer in my family. There wasn't a reason to go. The medical community just wanted more money, you know, all the things you hear and all the excuses I could make. And so these two sweet ladies who brought me back into a room to teach me how to do self-exams and talk about, you know, whatever, they were so kind. And I was saying to them, you know what? I'm here. I'm doing it. Don't waste your time. I know that I'm fine. Whatever. I do. I already heard all this stuff. Whatever. And then he had the mammogram, and you go wait in the room again. And they wanted to do an ultrasound, and then that led to a biopsy. And on a Friday afternoon, I had a couple grandbabies in the bathtub, and my phone rang. And
grandbabies.
Yeah, grandbabies. Yes. And
okay.
So they were in the bathtub and I was in the bathroom with them, and my phone rang, and they said something, you have breast cancer, we'll call you on Tuesday. And
oh my God, right. They left it on the voicemail?
Well, no, I answered my phone.
Oh, you okay.
Yeah, so they told me. Okay. They told me this, but even so, I've seen the Lifetime movies. I was supposed to be sitting across from the doctor holding my husband tight, you know, when the news is delivered, not over the phone on a Friday afternoon when I can't even call the office back because it's too late in the day.
Right.
And oh my word, it was shocking. I think anytime you hear that word, no matter what, it's just not a word you ever want to hear. And
plus you had two of your grandkids in the bathtub.
I did. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. So my son was home from the Navy, and I called him up and he watched the kids. And then I called my husband. I couldn't even get words out. He came home. It seemed like he was there in a flash. And I'll tell you, he did the exact right thing. If you're ever in this situation and wondering what to do, somehow he knew, but he just held me. He just held me. We just held each other for the longest time, and which is exactly what I needed in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I the next day after I, you know, dried my tears and tried to get my composure, I went to the bookstore, and everything was either medical or depressing. And I thought, gosh, I want to know what it feels like. Like, are there choices to make? What am I going to go through? How do I make decisions? Are there decisions? I didn't know anything. And I didn't know anybody who'd been through it. So I was just flying blind. And so I started writing kind of as a way to update family and friends. Hey, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow kind of thing. But really, it was so much more than that, with the idea that,
like, therapy for you.
Oh, my word. Absolutely. It was therapy for me. But I figured, you know, I wanted a book like this, but somebody else might want a book like this to help guide you through kind of, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I started writing, and then my husband, a couple weeks into my diagnosis, started having stomach pain. So he went to the doctor. The doctor said, oh, it's just, you're just nervous because of your wife, because of Kim, just take some Rolaids, take some Tums. And 2 months later, things were not going better for him. And so he went again. The doctor said the same thing. You know, just nervous, you know, but he did schedule him with a gastro guy, with a specialist. But that wasn't until another 2 months. Couldn't get in until.
Oh, my God.
I know. It was crazy. Yes. But the holidays were in there. I mean, I don't know, for whatever reason. And because of the kind of breast cancer I had to have a complete hysterectomy. And so the day, and I was getting a colonoscopy at the same time. So the day before I was doing the surgery was the day my husband went to that gastro doctor. And I'm the mouth of the family. Like, I would have been saying, wait a minute, you know, don't just send him away, like, run a test, do something.
Right.
But the doctor said, take some Tums. That was it. Yes, as I'm home and I can't leave the bathroom because I'm having a colonoscopy the next day. And if you've been through that, you know that you're not leaving the house for that day.
oh no, you ain't leaving the house for a while.
No, I was so frustrated. But then I had the surgery the next day. They found some bladder cancer, no big deal. Or it had, turned out to be all as well. But so my healing was a little bit more than what it would have been. And right. So a week later, I'm still in clothes that have elastic waists and watching Grey's Anatomy reruns and laying in bed. And I woke up and my husband was awake and he's like, God, my stomach. And I said, that's it. Go to the ER. Go to the emergency room. At least they'll run a test. They'll do something. So
when that happened, how long was he complaining about the stomach issues?
It was 4 months after my diagnosis. And he started complaining just a couple weeks after that. Yeah.
Every time they're just like, take Tums.
Right.
Which could have been making it worse.
Who knows? Who knows? It sure wasn't helping it. It wasn't doing anything. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Crazy.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just get so.
Right. I know.
Frustrated by some of these, you know, go take Tums. Okay.
Well, and you know your body. And for him, it wasn't stomach pain that he'd ever had before. He never had this in all of his years of life. It was a completely different pain. So, you know, doctors need to really listen and get tuned in. But it wouldn't have made a big difference anyway, as it turned out for him. But so he drove himself to the emergency room. Poor guy.
Oh, wow.
And I'm waiting for a phone call. But he was a rule follower. And it said no cell phone. So his cell phone was off. As I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, my phone rings. And he said, I guess they're going to keep me overnight. I'm like, keep you overnight? They don't keep anybody overnight. And this was a Friday. They're going to keep you overnight on the weekend? What is that about? So I put on like grown-up clothes and I hopped in my car in my Vicodin-induced state, drove like a bat out of hell to get to the hospital.
Oh, geez.
And I was almost there and my phone rang again. And he said, I guess there's a spot on my liver. I'm like, spot on your liver? Yeah. I just started bawling. I just was bawling. And I somehow got to the hospital and parked my car and I ran in holding all parts of my body because I was sore everywhere. And
right.
And they told me where he was and he was behind a curtain. And I'm sobbing and I whip back the curtain and he's sitting on the gurney like there's nothing going on. And I am sobbing. And he looked at me and he said, you know, I am not going to invite you out anymore if this is the way you're going to behave. And I said, listen, buddy, you are not allowed to be funny right now. And so it took a few days. I lived in complete denial. I happened to be reading the book, The Last Lecture, at the time, which was the worst book to happen to be reading at the time, if you know that book at all. But the doctor came in a couple days later with some blood test results. There's a couple cancer markers in your blood, CAC 125. And his numbers were higher, much, much higher than the doctor had ever seen before, ever. And I said, well, then your lab made a mistake. And he said, no, they don't make a mistake. And I said, well, they must have. You've never seen numbers like this? Like, run the test again. Like, you know, don't assume. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. You know, whatever. And so anyway, they ended up doing a colonoscopy and a biopsy. And it took a couple more days. And I actually ended up checking into the hospital as he was checking out of the hospital. Because I ended up with a bad kidney infection.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, because here I am staying. We were sleeping in the same hospital bed. I mean, I love this guy. And so I was up there with him the whole time. And anyway, so they wheeled me to his first oncologist appointment. And that's when we found out he had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
At what stage?
Stage 4. He had it everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Right. But they told us a year, probably. He was young and healthy. He was 51. I was 47.
Yeah.
He was 6'3" and 175 pounds and gorgeous. and very healthy. He was a healthy eater, although he did say that donuts were the fifth food group. So I'm not sure where that puts that. But he also took supplements. So he was a healthy guy. So they're like, he should outlive the odds, right? Because he's healthy. And so we just hunkered down. You know, we just stayed home together watching Cash Cab and played Jim Rummy and whatever. And
eating donuts and black licorice.
Yeah, well, actually, at the time, I was eating no black licorice because afraid that sugar wasn't going to be my friend right then. And so anyway, but I do love black licorice. For all the black licorice lovers out there, go you. We should join a team. We should have a league. We should something. I don't know, but I don't like the super salty stuff. I like the.
Why do I see your own line of black licorice coming out?
Great idea. Love is black licorice. I like that. So, yeah. So anyway, but we prayed from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I believe in God. And and my husband also, of course, I believe in an afterlife. And so we just prayed, you know, please some miracle to heal this man, or the greatest miracle of an incredible afterlife in heaven. But please don't let him suffer. That was our prayer. Please don't let him suffer. And our hospice was fabulous. They were wonderful and great. And they kept his pain at bay. And he did great. We had this great 6 weeks. And then a Sunday morning, 6 weeks in, I woke up. He was awake and just in pain. And so I called the hospice nurse. She got there right away, gave him warm morphine, and he was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was behind him holding him because I didn't want him to fall off the bed. Right. And the hospice nurse was a couple feet away in our bedroom on the phone calling for a hospital bed, a commode, whatever. And I said, Kai, do I call my kids? And she said, oh, no, you've got lots of time. Weeks, months, maybe, you've got lots of time. And these hospice nurses, they know because they see a lot of this, right? And so I'm like, are you sure? Because it just wasn't feeling good to me. And she said, no, I'm sure. You have a lot of time. But as I'm holding him, I'm feeling his agony. And I'm feeling his desperation because he was in so much pain. And I loved this man so much. And I hated seeing and feeling this with him. And so I just whispered in his ear. I said, baby, just go. And he never took another breath. That was it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an interesting time. It was just a crazy time. Because I still had to deal with my cancer stuff.
Right.
And, losing him was tough. You know, we had just become empty nesters. Just like a month before I was diagnosed, we became empty nesters. And I was so excited for that. I'm not sure why. I don't know what you do when you're an empty nester, if you run around the house naked or what it is, but whatever it is, I was looking forward to it. And
I think a lot of people do. It's funny because you look forward to the kids. You know, you look forward to raising that family. As they get older, you look forward to them moving out. You look forward to them bringing the grandkids over because you can always send them back. But you're right. It's becoming empty nesters. You get that time alone. You have more time alone with each other than you did with, you know, raising the family. And you get to do a lot of things that you weren't able to do.
Right. And oh my gosh, you go out to dinner and you only pay for two people. I mean, you save all kinds of money. You know, go on vacation, just the two of you, whatever it is. So,
God, I'm sorry. That is, but you know what? The good thing is because he was on home hospice. Mm-hmm. And I say that only because I know what that's like. I have, you know, both of my parents were on home hospice, so we were able to spend that time with them. And it makes a big difference. when you could be there with them, whether, you know, just thank God you weren't at home. And then the hospital called and said, yeah, we need you to get here right away. He's taking a turn for the worse. And then if you would have got there, it may have been too late. You were able to spend that time with him.
Right.
And that makes a big difference. And I know it helped me with my parents. And, but yeah, I did the same thing with my mom. I didn't like seeing her in pain. And I remember just holding my crucifix and praying to God, asking for him to just take her, because I knew she was suffering. And, you don't like to see that. But I'm like you. I believe in the afterlife too. I believe you don't start living until you pass away. I believe that's when you start living. Once you get up to heaven, you start living, because you don't have all the stuff you have down here. There is no negativity. There is no bad news. Everything is good. And I truly, truly believe in that. So as you were going through this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you were also working on your first book, right? Cry Until You Laugh.
Right. Right. Yeah. Cause I had started writing when I was diagnosed. And so I was still writing, during this whole time. I wrote for a little over a year. And so Cry Until You Laugh is the journey. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to cry until you laugh. But I think so often people need permission to laugh again. You know, they almost feel like it's dishonoring if you laugh and live this full life, like you're losing the memory of the person that you lost. And I think the opposite is true. I think it's honoring. Mm-hmm. I think it's honoring to live fully, to give of yourself, to laugh, to have joy in your life, the choices that you can make. There's so many things that we don't get to choose, right? We'd never choose cancer. We wouldn't choose losing our spouse. You know, we wouldn't make those choices. But the things that we do get to choose are how we're going to live and how much happiness and joy we're going to have and how much stress we're not going to have. You know, we get to choose those things. And so Cry Until You Laugh is my first book.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I agree with you 100% there. They, you know, you always hear the term laughter is the best medicine. And I truly believe that too. And I think, you know, when you're laughing, why are you laughing? You're thinking of those good memories, you know, and it's okay to cry too. You know, so you need your moments sometimes just to sit alone and just cry. I still do it. You know, I miss my parents. I miss my brother, you know. You have to do that at times, you know, but it's, the laughing part, it just makes you feel so good. It lifts you up. So, yeah, I agree with that. Now, cause I know once, you know, he took his last breath, of course it was hard on you. So how much longer until after that, until the book was actually published?
Well, I never really necessarily thought it was going to turn into a book.
Oh, really?
So, right. Yeah. I mean, I just.
Like a journal for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was just writing and sharing. But as soon as I started writing, I was sending them out as emails. And before I knew it, 5,000 people were reading what I was writing. And
really?
So, yeah. I know. Crazy, right? But people were passing it on. I mean, I was hearing from people all over the world. And which was so encouraging and so wonderful, you know, when people reach out.
Yeah.
And it was great. But so I had a friend convince me this should be a book. This should be a book. And like I said, you know, when I went to the bookstore, there wasn't something that would tell me anything about decisions to be made. Like one of the decisions I had to make kind of early on was I had to have a mastectomy. But you pick if you want just the side that has the cancer in it removed, right, or both. You can do both. And I'm like, I don't know. How do you make that decision? I don't know what to do. Right.
Yeah, it ain't like you flip a coin or something.
Exactly. So we were sitting around the dinner table and talking about it. And one of my sons said, Mom, would you put new siding on just half the house? And I went, oh, good point, son. Well, okay, there you go. Double it is. Yeah. So, wow. Right. Right. But there are all these things. And, but the, you know, hopefully the book is people find encouraging. I've gotten great feedback on it. It's just nice to know too, you're not alone. You're not the only one going through something, that there's other people that have gone through it and are smiling on the other side. And that's always good to know. So that's my first book.
Which is, so it's a journal which helped you. It's telling your story, but I guess you could say it's also a self-help book for people, right?
Right. Yes, I think it is. I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is good. I mean, a lot of people do. I know one of the ones that helped me, you know, with my parents was to, for some reason, it was a story, but it helped me a lot and my mother and everybody else. And that was Tuesdays with Maury. Yeah, because it told the story about Maury Schwartz and everything. And it just, that helped a lot. And that, and of course The Secret. And that was, yours came out 2015.
Maybe, you know, what's horrible is I don't remember what year it came out. Isn't that terrible?
But that was your first book.
That was my first book. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's take a little break here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Elite Power Washing. They take care of pressure washing, house washing, roof cleaning, gutter cleaning. They are truly the elite company when it comes to pressure washing. To see their work, to see what they've done, everything looks brand new. And there are even a lot of businesses out there that use them as well. Sean and Tina and their crew know what they're doing. They know how to make your property look like it's brand new. And again, I mean, they handle everything. Pressure washing, house washing, which yes, there is a difference. Roof cleaning, gutter cleaning, window cleaning, concrete cleaning, paver cleaning, deck cleaning. So whether you're in Baltimore, Harford, or Cecil County, if you need something taken care of when it comes to pressure washing, call the Elite Power Washing Team. They will get it done for you. They are the exterior cleaning professionals. They know what they're doing. Go to ElitePowerWashingMD.com or call them at 410-705-9274. Again, it's 410-705-9274. Tell them Rich from Harford County Living sent you.
Love is the second book, which came out right before COVID, didn't it?
It came out actually just a year ago. It came out in December of 22.
Oh, after COVID. Okay. Never mind.
So
yeah, COVID's got everybody's minds.
I know. Isn't that funny? And now that's how we remember time. Now,
yes.
Baby born before COVID. How old are they? Yeah.
Pre-COVID or pro-COVID?
Right. Did I get to go see the baby in the hospital or not? Yeah. Did I have to look through a window? How did that work? Right.
Yeah. You know what? I feel bad for all these kids that are already known as COVID babies.
What a legacy.
I hope nobody names their baby COVID either.
Oh, please.
So your book Love Is, tell everybody about that. I can't wait to get both of these. And I already noticed on Amazon, it does pair them up. So I like that.
Well, losing my husband made me question some things and made me question what my life was going to be. Right. I mean, we were going to be these 95-year-olds on a front porch sitting in rockers drinking lemonade, you know, smiling at each other, whatever it is a 95-year-olds do sitting on a porch drinking lemonade, and never expected that this was going to happen. And so I had to figure out my life. Like, what was I going to do? What did it mean? And one of the things I really questioned was love, the true meaning of love.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be this mystery. Like, it's defined different ways by different people, you know, Nicholas Sparks, there's that kind of love, or the love that Ed Sheeran sings about, or whatever, but love is more than that. But what is it really? And so I decided that I was going to dedicate a year to figuring out the true meaning of love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I used a 2000-year-old poem that you hear at a lot of weddings, your eyes kind of glaze over. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, etc. And I decided I would take one word at a time and figure out what is love that is patient? What is love that is kind? And devote a month to each one. And most of the time I was working on it, I was in Haiti. And one of the very first things I figured out is there's 14 is's and isn'ts of love in that poem. So it took me a little bit longer than a year. But and crazy stuff happened. But the things that I learned about love blew my mind, rocked my world, changed my life. It's nuts. The things that we think are love sometimes are not. Or things done in the name of love, said in the name of love, are not necessarily love. And when you know the true meaning of love, and I don't think you really have to go to Haiti for a year like I did. I kind of did the homework for you. But when you know the true meaning of love, it's so freeing and life changes only for the better.
You know what? You hear this all the time. Everybody, and I hear podcasters do it. They'll ask people, what is the true meaning of life? But how many people have asked you, what is the meaning of love?
People ask me.
Well, for you, I'm sure a lot of people have asked you because you wrote about it.
Right.
You know, but what is actually the meaning of love?
You know, it's a little deeper than one sentence. If it was one word, it would be freedom. It's complete freedom. When you realize that love is your only job, that's all you have to do is love, then you're free to just love. And what a wonderful feeling, because there's no room for judgment or condemnation. There's no room for racism or ageism or any kind of ism. There's no room for any of that. With real love, you recognize that you have no control over anybody, first of all, right? You only control yourself. And, you know, you bring a baby home from the hospital and you have complete control. You decide when the baby eats, when the baby sleeps, when the baby gets a bath. But 6, 7, 8 months later, your Tupperware is all over the kitchen floor and pots and pans are banging. You realize you've lost total control. And I can tell you from experience, you never get it back again. Never.
No.
And so you only control yourself. You only control yourself. So love lets people be, lets yourself be who you believe you're created to be, but also lets others be who they believe they're created to be. And we're all unique, special individuals, no two of us the same. And so love allows for that. You recognize people as people. You know, it's the two of us here. We don't put labels on ourselves. You don't need the labels. You might belong to a club. You might belong to a, you know, you might have a political affiliation. You know, there might be other things that you put on yourself that you gather. But when it comes down to it, love doesn't put those labels on. Love doesn't draw the map, draw the lines on the map. You know, love just loves. And so it is completely freeing when you just let people be who they are. And you know, we all get to decide how we react to anything, right? We get to decide our own reactions. And so with love, if somebody says something you disagree with, it's okay. You know, if somebody, whatever, doesn't have a personality you necessarily want to hang out with, that's okay. You know, you don't have to like people to love them. Love is something entirely different. You know, we sometimes think of love as like a feeling or an emotion, but it's not. It's not. You know, if you watch a scary movie, that night you hear every bump, right? Every creak, you know, whatever. But you don't live in fear. Fear is an emotion. Fear is a feeling, emotion. But you do live in love. Love is who you are. Love is you. It's your embodiment. It's who you are, and how you decide to live it is up to you.
So, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but I've seen this a lot because you spent over a year basically researching love. Why is it you see a lot of people that are either afraid to love or even use the word love? And I see it all the time. A lot of people, because I'm the type that, you know, my friends, whether they're a guy, whether they're a girl, I always tell everybody that I love them because I do truly love them. I mean, I would do anything for them. But yet I've seen some people that seem like they're afraid to say that.
It's true. Understand it. Well, you know, I think we're a product of every day that has led us up until today. So if you're raised in a home that you don't hear the word, you know, if you have lived your life where it hasn't been part of your life, it can be a difficult thing to say, especially when you don't know what it really means. Then how do you know if you're really loving if you don't really know what it means? And so often, you know, if you've been whatever, abused, or there's been trauma in your life, whatever, you're like, where's the love? You know, where's the love in that? Well, the love isn't in that. That's not love. And so understanding that we've been taught wrong, that there is this new interpretation of love that's always been there. We just haven't known it. And so to open up our minds and go, you know, maybe there's a different definition than the one that I know.
Yeah.
And be open to it.
Something very important before we get to the 14-day love challenge, because I am dying to hear about this. Tell everybody your website and where they can get your books.
Yeah. So I am literally the only Kim Sorrell spelled my way in the entire world because there's,
really?
Yeah, because it's obnoxious. There's way too many letters. There's two R's, two L's, two E's, Sorrelle. So kimsorrell.com is my website. Love is my book, my most current book. And so even if you just Google Love Is, I should pop up. And it's available at brick and mortar stores like Barnes and Noble, as well as online on every place online, including Amazon. Yeah. Cry Until You Laugh is available on Amazon and every other bookseller. And so they're readily available, easily available. Love Is as a dark blue cover with big letters, big white letters saying Love Is. And so it's easy to find. I'm easy to find. And I'm on the social networks, you know, and all of that stuff too, like everybody else. Mostly.
And I'll make sure I have all the links for everything in the show notes, including your TikTok.
TikTok's fun.
I'm still trying to figure it out, but my son, I don't know how, has like millions of views, followers, whatever you call it. And all his videos are like stupid. It's like, maybe that's what I got to do instead of just posting like blurbs from the podcast, post stupid stuff. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
The 14 day love challenge. Let's talk about that. Cause after we're done here, if I have time before my other podcast starts, I'm going to sign up for it. I have to do it. Tell everybody, explain the 14 day love challenge to everyone.
Yeah. Well, it's free. It's right on my website. And basically there's just a little thing that you read each day that makes you think about a different aspect of love. So you do it for 14 days in a row. And if you sign up on my website, I will send you for free a WWLD, What Would Love Do, wristband.
Ooh,
because if you're going to answer anything that way, you will be doing the right thing.
I like, you know, you scared me at first when you said WWE. I'm thinking, wait a minute, don't tell me she's a wrestling fan. She's going to say WWE something. I like that, though. WWLD, What Would Love Do? I love that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody's got to go to the website. Definitely sign up for the 14-day challenge. Buy both of her books. And when you do, after you read them, and I push this every time, leave a full review about the books on Amazon, Goodreads, I think Barnes & Noble you can, I believe indie bookstores, wherever you buy them, wherever you can leave a review. And on your, because you have, don't you have a Facebook page at Strictly as an Author?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so leave it on there as well. Because that helps. And, you know, it also pushes when people search for the book, they look at those reviews, and the more 5-star, 4-star, whatever it is, reviews that you give Kim, it drives it up there more. Mm-hmm. Something I definitely want to touch on, and we have a little bit of time left, because I recently had a gentleman on the podcast who was from Haiti, and he half of his life he actually spent in Haiti. He was born and raised there, and he was a journalist, and we talked about a lot. But you're doing a lot, not just in Haiti, but everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. I run a nonprofit, so I do work in a few different countries.
What is the nonprofit?
Rays of Hope International is the name of the nonprofit, and we're a partnering organization. We work with people in their own country who have a passion, a vision, a mission to do something to help people in their own country. So they understand the real need, they understand the language, they understand the culture, and just need someone to walk alongside. So, you know, could be with supplies or a building or a business plan, even, mm-hmm. you know, always trying to lead to self-sustainability. So it's fun.
I love that. I love that. How did you decide to get into that?
In 98, I think there was maybe it was George, Hurricane George went right over Dominican Republic. And I just met a man from Santo Domingo. And so that Christmas, my husband and I decided instead of doing Christmas as usual, we took our kids and flew to the Dominican Republic to go help. And I was introduced to this organization and I thought, this is the way to do it. This is the way to help people. And I loved it. I went home and joined the board and the rest is history, I guess.
And you're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for doing that, because that's God, wait a minute, 98? That was that long ago?
Yeah, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I'm getting old. I am getting old. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But then again, like you said, it pre-COVID, so it messes everything.
It does.
Way pre-COVID. So tell me you're working on another book.
I am. I'm working.
I knew it.
I'm working on a book on grief. And I'm co-authoring with a medium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited about it. I love her. She's amazing. And I'm so happy to know her. And so we're coming from two kind of different angles, but with the same thing, you know, kind of giving people permission, going back to that. Like, people think that they have to follow these steps in order that somebody came out with, right? However long ago, mm-hmm. these are the steps of grief. Well, not everybody goes through every step. And then people feel guilty that they're not going through, are they grieving right? You know, well, your grief is your grief. And we can be judgmental. We can judge people's grief. We shouldn't judge anybody's grief. It's their own. You know, people can grieve, but people are also allowed to come out of that. And anyway, so there's lots of good stuff that's going to be in that book. So I'm excited about that.
Do you know a time frame of when it's going to be released?
I imagine we'll probably have the book done in 6 months or so. And so it'll probably be close to a year or about a year before it's released.
Do me a favor. Once you find out when it's going to be released, if you can contact me, I would love to have both of you on to talk about it.
Sounds great.
I think that's something else, more books about grief, because everybody, they really don't know how, a lot of people don't know how to grieve. Everybody's right. Different. And, you know, you already put out, like I said, the self-help book and your story, which I believe is going to help a lot of people. You already said you were having a hard time finding books on it, you know, when you were diagnosed. So this is just something else that will help people. So when you were diagnosed, because you couldn't find anything, and you were reading the lecture, you said, when your husband was diagnosed, right?
Yes.
So what three books would you recommend to people besides your own? you know, if they're going through the same thing that you went through?
Wow. One book that might sound weird. Well, you kind of mentioned it. I think The Secret.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda Byrne. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
I think that's something that can be helpful for sure. And transform mm-hmm. your life and give you something to think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, let me think. Oh, there's this really good book. Oh, I just got it. Hold on. It's right here. It's so good. It's amazing. It's called The Surfer and the Sage. The Surfer and the Sage. Surfer. And yeah, The Surfer and the Sage. And it is a sage, this incredible man, Noah Ben Shea, who is just a philosopher and so wise and wonderful. And Sean Thompson, who is one of the top 10 surfers of all time. Mm-hmm. And there's even moves named after him. And he is just this incredible, incredible man who suffered the loss of his son when he was, I think, 15 years old. He died in school. They were kids playing this choking game. And unfortunately, he passed away. It was awful. And jeez. So, yeah, it really rocked Sean's world. And this book is just so full of wisdom and so full of positivity and
right.
how to get through some things and how to look at the positive of things and how to use things for your benefit. And anyway, The Surfer and the Sage.
Oh, I'll have to get that after I buy yours.
There you go.
And do you have a third one?
And a third one. Oh my gosh. Isn't that terrible? I should just come up with a name. I read so many books. I'm trying to think.
I was going
to
say, I see all them books behind you.
I know. It's hard. Money Secrets of the Amish is one of my favorite books, but I don't know.
What is it?
Money Secrets of the Amish. Oh my word.
Money Secrets of the Amish?
It's so good. It's so good. It's funny, but it's good and it's wise. Yeah. Laura Lee Craker is the author and she's written several books and she went and lived with the Amish for a while and learned some things that you don't know that really you could save a lot of money if you lived like the Amish a little bit, you know, some of the things you do. And so anyway, so Money Secrets to the Amish. It's just one of my favorite books of all time. Love Does. I'll tell you, that's probably my third book in the asking of book. Love Does by Bob Goff. It's so good.
Okay.
And it's stories. And so it's a fun read. And there's a lot of wisdom in there. Bob is amazing. I love Bob Goff. I don't know if you know him, but incredible author. He's a lawyer. And he's written several books and his books are all so good. But Love Does is amazing.
I'll have to check that one out too.
Yeah.
Although my wife's going to yell at me because she keeps telling me I need to get more bookshelves because I'm running out of room.
Yeah. I like books.
So do I. And actually with yours, although I doubt, are they in audio version as well?
Yes, actually,
the
first one is not, but Love is audio as well.
Okay. Because I do find that easier for me sometimes because as I'm editing, you know, or working, I love to, it's easier to listen to a book.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. I agree. I like an audio book.
Oh, when I was on the road all the time, that's all I did. Books on, then they had a thing called Books on Tape.
Yes. I did the same thing.
Books on MP3. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you say you also have a podcast?
I do. Actually, right after this, after we wrap up, I am interviewing this incredible woman, an actress. So I've got a podcast. I interview celebrities. And I co-host the podcast and it's so fun. It's just fun.
What's the name of the podcast?
Love Is.
It makes sense. that makes perfect sense. And I'll make sure I have the, well, actually, I, since it's your podcast, I have to recommend that one, because I always recommend the podcast at the end of each episode. So,
well, thank you.
I gotta recommend yours. Kim, is there anything you would like to add?
You know, I would just say that love doesn't have to be hard. And it can be the thing that really changes. It's a game changer. But it starts at home. You got to love yourself. You know, sometimes I think, like, if the Mona Lisa ever went for sale, how many millions and millions of dollars would it draw? Who knows, right? And it's because it's a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. And so are you. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. There's never been anybody like you. Never will be anybody like you. You are perfect the way you are. Embrace that. Embrace your uniqueness. Don't compare yourself to others. There's no need to do that ever. You were made to be who you were made to be, and you're perfect just the way you are. So love yourself and then love others.
I love it. Kim, thank you so much. It's been a true pleasure. And like I said, when the other book is ready, when you have a release date, let me know. I would like for both of you to come on and talk about it, because, again, grief is something that I think a lot of people need to talk about, because I think a lot of people are afraid to talk about it. But I think once you do, it does help. I think it's like therapy. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I love your show. Your show should be everybody's number one on their podcast.
Oh,
it's so good.
Thank you.
I love your show. So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank Kim for coming on, and do me a favor, pick up both of her books, Love Is and Cry Until You Laugh. And after you read them, of course, make sure you leave a full review of them both. And I'll have links in the show notes for everything. And also, as far as the podcast goes, well, you know, I have to recommend Kim's. It's actually pretty good. It's called Love Is. Now, usually the website that I use, for some reason, I could not find her podcast. So I had to go right to her RSS feed. And what I did was actually download the first episode, which is basically an introduction to Kim. Check it out.
I'm really excited about the new podcast that I'm going to be co-hosting with Kim Sorrell, and it's called Love Is. Kim, how are you? You've been my co-host for celebrity interviews for a few months, and they've been amazing conversations, but now you're going to tell us about Love Is. So tell us about Love Is.
Yeah, Neil, I'm so excited about this podcast. I'm excited to be doing it with you, because I think you and I have this great chemistry online together. So it's pretty fun. But I had this journey that I've been through. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and then passed away 6 weeks later. And it was a strange, weird, crazy time of life. And it made me question some things. I had a great marriage. He was a wonderful guy, but it made me question love, the true meaning of love. You know, there's so many songs, there's poems, there's books, there's movies, but there's still this mystery around what love really is. And so I decided I was going to figure it out. So I went on a year-long quest to figure out what the true meaning of love is. I took this 2,000-year-old poem that you hear at a lot of weddings, and your eyes kind of glaze over because you hear it so often. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast, etc. And I decided I would take one word a month and figure out, what is love that is patient? What is love that is kind? I soon figured out that there are actually 14 is's and isn'ts of love. So 12 months wasn't going to cut it. So it took me a little bit longer than a year. And most of the time I was in Haiti while I was working on it, which gave it kind of an interesting twist. And the things that I found out about love just changed my life, rocked my world, and I know would be life-changing and world-changing for anyone.
I think this is fabulous because, again, you went and had to serve others, and you learned about what love is. And I think it doesn't matter what religion you are, what your spirituality is. When we give and we love others, we are going to feel more passionate about our lives, be more excited about what we're doing, and we help people And that's the thing that's missing in a lot of ways is service first, and then the rest will follow. A good friend of mine, Harry Spate, even talks about that in sales, as he's about service. And it's bottom line. It's the truth that if you go ahead and don't have love in your heart and whatever thing you do, it's going to end up failing miserably in your life. Even if you have success on paper, you're not going to have success in your relationships. You're not going to have success in the people that you meet, and they're not going to see you as somebody who changed their lives. I had a story of one client that told me, said, Neil, if you wouldn't have helped me through this, I literally would not be doing what I want to transform people. And that was just such a powerful thing. You don't get to hear those messages all the time, but when you do, it's powerful. And I know that the way this show Love Is going to be going is the same way. We just love talking to people, and we're going to talk to people that, you know, some people might know who they are. It's not celebrities, but they're going to talk about stories of how they bring love into their life. And then you're able to kind of give feedback, and you're excited about that because there's going to be people that really are doing what you're doing on a regular basis. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. You know, love is one of those things that's universal. So you're absolutely right. It's not, it doesn't depend on your religion or what you do for a living or where you live in the world or the color of your skin, your sexual orientation. None of that matters. You know, love is love, and it is for everyone. And it's something that is something that everyone can live. And when you do, the quality of life is just so much greater. And then you couple that with service, and you just become this authentic person, and not given a sales pitch, not trying to inspire people from not the right place. You know, you got to have the right heart to really talk to people and really care. And it all starts with love.
Absolutely. And the best place for people to go right now is your website. However, very soon the podcast will be up, as this is the initial episode. We're going to be interviewing some amazing people. But what I want, as you know, as the media giant wants for you, is a podcast that really speaks to your signature programs of what you're doing. Your goal is to transform society through love. And you've already proven it with how many people have loved your book. And it's going to become a movement as your Facebook group community, all those different places. Your Facebook's already filled up to 5,000. People are going to have to either follow you on Facebook or other social media platforms because you're getting busy and you're really helping people with your message. So the best place people can go is where?
Well, my website is kimsorrell.com, or easier yet is loveis.info. Loveis.info. You get taken right to my website, and there's lots of information and lots of great stuff there.
All right. So this was the initial podcast of Love Is. Looking forward to some amazing guests. I appreciate the time, Kim, and we will talk very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Neil.
If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, or if you would like to recommend somebody for me to get on the podcast, or if there's a topic you want me to talk about, just go to conversationswithrichbennett.com, click the Be a Guest link, and fill out the form, and I'll get in contact with you, and we'll get everything set up. And while you're there, please subscribe to the podcast as well as the newsletter. And check out all my sponsors and, of course, my co-hosts. Please show your support for all of them as well. Until next time, my name is Rich Bennett. Stay safe. And thank you for joining the conversation. So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland 21009.